I was thinking about the suddenlies this week. So I'm going to call this the suddenlies or season of the suddenlies. I believe we live in the season of the suddenlies. And I want to talk about them a little bit. Let's go to the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you, Jesus, for your Word is truth, it is life. Lord, your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We don't have to walk around and stumble and wonder which way to go or how to go. You've laid our path out for us, Jesus, and your paths are straight and your paths are good. And they lead us beside still waters. They lead us into green pastures. They meet all of our needs. So, Lord, by grace, help us to follow this path this morning. Lord, help me not to take anything out of context, Lord. Just the pure Word of God, Lord. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that we'll grow up a little bit more today. We'll get a little bit taller in the things of God. And more than that, Jesus, we can take out of here something that'll give us life this week, God. With all the death surrounding us, God, we need life, Holy Spirit. You said that you came to give life and life more abundantly. Lord, we reach out right now in heaven. Just reach up into heaven, God, and I pull down that abundant life. I pull down that abundant life. I pull down that abundant life. And I throw away that spirit of death that's trying to surround this planet, and I will not receive it. I refute it. I rebuke it. In Jesus' name, I rebuke the bad report. I rebuke the bad of the port. The report of the Lord says, I am saved, I am healed, I am delivered, I am free. We claim the report of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Genesis 7, I'm not going to take a lot of time to turn there because you're familiar with it, but verse 11. Season of the suddenlies. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And you know all that happened suddenly. God told Noah, well, the Holy Spirit started drawing the animals, and the animals started coming to the ark, and the ark was filled up. And suddenly, God came to Noah and said, get in the ark, you and your family. And when he did, God suddenly shut the door so nobody else or nothing else could come into that ark. And it all happened very suddenly. It started raining suddenly. And not only did it rain suddenly, it said the fountains of the deep were broken up. In other words, these underground streams that had been watering the earth with a mist, they broke up like geysers, I suppose, and it was just chaos and bedlam. This ship was soon setting sail, which it had never seen anything like that before where they were at. You say something? No. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you was waving at me. But the fountains of the deep broke up and it started raining, and suddenly the earth was consumed with a flood. Would y'all agree with that? But you got to remember something. Noah had been preaching for 120 years that the flood was coming. And don't you know, people, sure they made fun of him, sure they did all this and that, but don't you know they finally said, you know, we are really, really sick of hearing about this flood that hasn't happened and is never going to happen. Don't you know? And then when it began to rain, it's too late. They didn't listen to the warnings. Judges 19, verse 20. And the old man said, peace be with you. However, let all your needs be my responsibility, only do not spend the night in the open square. So he brought him into the house and gave fodder to the donkeys, and they washed their feet and they ate and drank. as they were enjoying themselves, listen to this, suddenly certain men of the city, perverted men, surrounded the house and beat on the door. They spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring out the man who came to your house that we may know him carnally. But the man, the master of the house, went out to them and said to them, no, my brethren, I beg you, do not act so wickedly. Seeing this man has come into my house, do not commit this outrage. Look, here is my virgin daughter and the man's concubine. Let me bring them out now, humble them, and do with them as you please. But to this man do not do such a vile thing. But the men would not heed him, so the man took his concubine and brought her out to them, and they knew her and abused her all night until morning. And when the day began to break, they let her go. And I'm not even going to read the rest of this. But he took the concubine and divided her into 12 pieces and sent her off to the 12 tribes of Israel as a witness of how wicked this society had become. And they rose up, they got an army, and they took care of business. Now I want you to know, it said this happened suddenly. But I'm going to tell you, a society does not get that wicked suddenly. Because we're talking Israel now. We're not talking Hittites, dites. We're not talking that. We're talking people that were raised on the Word of God, the Ten Commandments. They had got so evil that it wasn't safe for a man to be walking around at night because he may be raped. I just want you to know that that did not happen overnight. It took many, many years of perversion. It took many, many years of excusing, disobeying God's word. It took many, many years of calling good evil and evil good. And finally, it became acceptable. Because evidently, the law was not opposed to what was going on here. I don't like that story. I don't like that. Do y'all like that story? I don't like that story at all. God, why did you put that in the Bible for us? Because that is so perverse. Why did you put that in the Bible for us, God? What do you think he put that in the Bible for? I mean, that's just crude. That's nasty. There's all kinds of nasty stuff in the Bible. It's like, why? You know what? Most people, you could go up on the street and ask them what they think of mankind, and they would say, mankind is basically good. No, they would, Karen. That's what's taught in the higher learning universities. Man is basically good, and not only good, but getting better. That's what they teach in the universities. Man is good and getting better, and he will finally attain utopia if he just lets things go. But that's what they're taught, see? That's what people come out of college, and I'm not against college. If you can go in there and survive it, praise the Lord. But you better go in with a good foundation, right? Genesis 19:23, the sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, the inhabitants of the city that grew on the ground. Suddenly. But it didn't become wicked again. Almost the same story as the one we just read, but it did not happen suddenly. Things happened to get things in. Pompeii. Have y'all ever heard of Pompeii? I just remember studying it in world history in high school, I think. Do y'all remember what happened there? It was in Italy, right? Roman Empire, right? What happened in Pompeii? Y'all remember? Mount Vesuvius erupted, and there was this volcano, and it was like instantly covered everything with lava and ash. I mean, it was like in a split second. Suddenly this happened. And I heard on the radio this morning a guy was preaching, and he said that the ruins, they've injected some kind of plaster of Paris between the lava and the ruins, and it filled in all these images of what was going on. And it said the art and everything was just totally pornographic. In fact, they won't even let the general public in to see the displays of their artwork. And it showed people in various acts of perversion that were just froze in what was going on. And no, Pompeii, and I'm not exactly, my geography's not that great. I know it was in the Roman Empire. I know it was in Italy somewhere. But it happened very suddenly. But yet, if you think about it, and I'm not even talking about the perversion, but that, if you think about it, the volcano had been churning and building up pressure for a long, long time. And they said there had been evidence, there had been little pops, there had been little shakings, and the people were warned, there was warnings that there was a, you look so cute, there was warnings that it was imminent that a volcano was coming, but yet everybody was like, let's eat, drink, and be merry because it's never happened before, so we're going to be okay. Right? So suddenly, things can happen. San Francisco earthquake happened suddenly. I wasn't there. There was one in Los Angeles right about the same time. And right about in the same time period this happened, what else happened in Los Angeles? Do you know? Azusa Street. A great, mighty move of God was loosed just about simultaneously to the San Francisco earthquake. So in judgment, God brings mercy. In judgment, God will bring things that will draw people to Himself. But earthquakes, if you know anything about earthquakes, and I'm no geologist, but there's two plates, and they're the pressure. Pressure builds up and builds up and builds up, and finally, when it breaks, you get a violent earthquake. So you be thankful for little tremors because they're kind of like relieving pressure. Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward even forever, the zeal of the Lord of the hosts will perform it. So 1,000 years before Jesus was born, not only in Isaiah but in Psalms, it was prophesied, prophesied, prophesied. There's going to be a baby born. There's going to be one that's going to, in Psalm 22, there's going to be one that's going to die on the cross, and it goes into graphic detail of death on the cross 1,000 years before the cross was even invented. And it goes into graphic details. If you go back to Moses, the children of Israel were crying out. They were slaves, and they were crying out, Lord, set us free. Lord, set us free. Lord, deliver us from our captors. Lord, deliver us. Lord, deliver us. You know how long they sang that song? 400 years. And then God sent a deliverer, Moses. Amen? And the people, they didn't like Moses too much most of the time, did they? They didn't. God, why did you give us this man that'll take us out away from the things we know and understand? We liked it better in Egypt. But God sent a deliverer because his people cried out and cried out and cried out and cried out and cried out. And I know there was how many generations, at least 5 or 6 generations that died asking for that promise. Isn't that incredible? So it happened suddenly, didn't it? The plagues came and they came to the Red Sea and suddenly God parted the Red Sea for them. There was 400 years of prayers and crying and weeping and God watching his people in great pain before he sent a deliverer. But we read it as suddenly, and that's okay. I like suddenly, don't you? America likes suddenly. Isaiah 53, who has believed our report? Whom has the arm of the Lord revealed? He will grow up before him as a tender plant and a root out of a dry ground. He had no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. So 1,000 years before Jesus came and gave his life on the cross and made a way for us to be healed spiritually, soulishly, and the whole deal. We got the whole deal. Before that happened, there was 1,000 years of waiting. There was 1,000 years of, oh God. And then there was 400 years between the Old Testament and New Testament where there was no prophets, there was no word from heaven that they know of. It was silence. God was silent for 400 years. Isn't that weird? Strange? Coincidence? 400 years, they cried out for deliverance and Moses came. And he was called the deliverer, right? 400 years between the old covenant and the new covenant, they cried out for a deliverer, and Jesus came and they rejected them both. And there was scripture to prove who he was all through the whole deal. But suddenly he came. And the generation that experienced that no doubt said, suddenly. This was a sudden thing that happened from heaven. Praise the Lord. Acts 2, verse 1. Y'all know this. You should know this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing and a mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Suddenly, it says the Holy Spirit came suddenly. The wind of God blew into the church suddenly. But they've been praying for 40 or 50 days for this suddenly thing to happen. They were all stinking up in the upper room and they were going after God. Praise the Lord. And praise God for it. We've been having some good prayer meetings on Wednesday night. But you know what? An hour, hour and a half, 2 hours? Come on, God. What's the deal? We've been waiting a long time for this revival to be poured out. You know what? I was listening. I usually don't get to drive around on Sunday morning, but I went to the hospital, so I turned on 900, which is, you know, there's some good preaching on there. Some good preaching. It's more, it would be more your, it was good preaching. And this guy's talking about revival and stuff. He said, we must have, He said, there's been two great awakenings. And I couldn't believe this guy was saying all this. He said, we must have a third great awakening. We must have revival. And this guy wasn't somebody you would expect to hear this from, but he's like calling out for revival, calling out for a move of God. And so the waves are rising. The waves are rising. Highway 150 corridor is just one part of many people crying out there. Kansas City, praise God what they're doing in Kansas City. But he said, do it this way along this highway. And Dave Ledger gets a prayer group going where pastors are coming together from Baptist church, Methodist church, da 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 da. It looked like Pentecost in there. It really did. No, there was no tongues. There was no hoshandarabaran. There wasn't, because you know, there would have been people there that would have got offended and they would have got out of unity. So it's not something you have to throw in somebody's face. You know what I'm saying? We believe that. That's God. That's true. But God will reveal to us. He had to reveal to you, didn't he? Or did you? You may have just got it when you got saved, see? But I wasn't in that place. So anyway, God is, the people of God are starting to cry out, is what I'm saying. And I run into two people this week, lost people. One was a waitress in a restaurant, and I can't even remember the other situation. But the lady, I said, wow. I said, you really, I didn't tell her she was ugly or nothing, but she looked beat down. You know, I said, whoa, you've been going through something. She said, oh, I turn on the news, and you got the school shooting, you got cannibals, she just starts going through all this stuff. And I told her, I said, ma'am, you know, we're all going through that, but do you have Jesus to give that to? Can you lay it down at his feet? And she just kind of hung her head. And I said, he's the only way you're going to escape this torment, you know? And the world is, they're getting primed for revival, because it's getting to the point where I can't take this no more. It's getting heavy, isn't it? It's getting crazy. And the world knows we need to repent. The heathens know we need to repent. But they keep having people come on. You don't need to repent. We're going the right way. No, this is the way. Walk in it, right? You've got all these psychologists. You've got all these people saying, no, this is totally normal. La, 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 la. And your heart knows different. But the bad report and the world's report, it controls most people. Not us, praise the Lord, but our job is to get it out to all those that are fainting right now, man. There's people fainting all over the place. There's people having heart attacks. There's people going to hell. And we've got to get the word outside of these doors, you know? Praise the Lord. I'd like this place filled with brand new... I love brand new believers. Because they quote verses wrong and they do all this stuff wrong. They say stuff that's not right. But you know what? They're saying it. You know what I mean? It's like they're saying what they know. And we've got all this knowledge and stuff and we're keeping it to ourselves. Praise the Lord. We've been walking with the Lord a long time. Some of us. Good news. Good news. Okay, I mentioned Kansas City. How long have they been 24/7 prayer? 15 years. 16 years of constant praise and prayer. 16 years, 24/7. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Well, God, haven't you heard them? America's still pretty screwed up. Would y'all agree? America's in pretty bad shape. Amen? Well, the Moravians had a prayer meeting. You ever heard of the Moravians? It lasted 120 years. Nonstop prayer. They got a ways to go in Kansas City. Praise the Lord, they started. John Wesley. Oh, he did everything by the book. In fact, they called them Methodists because they had a method. They prayed 3 hours in the morning. They had all these rules. They called them the Holy Club in college, and they were made fun of. But you know what? John Wesley, being the religious guy that he was, you know what? He wasn't saved. And he got on a ship to come to America with a bunch of crazy Pentecostal called Moravians. And he said, my heart was strangely warmed. Translation, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Then he went back to England and they wouldn't even let him preach in his daddy's church. Did y'all know that? I grew up in a Methodist church. They don't teach you that. No, he was just a dignified Englishman. They would not let him preach in his daddy's church because he was so radical, even though he had those long flowing robes and wigs on. And it said what he did, he didn't leave and quit. You know what he did? He got up on his daddy's tombstone and started preaching, and there was thousands and thousands gathered in that cemetery and got their lives right with God. England was going down for the third time. They said there was a gin joint on every corner. People set their kids out on the street to beg for money, to get money for booze. They would break their arms and legs to make them look more pitiful. So we ain't got nothing on history. England was a wicked, wicked, wicked place. And America, oh Lord. Kentucky, they said thieves, robbers, liars, don't go through Kentucky. You'll get bushwhacked and you get your throat cut. Hey, I'm from Kentucky. I don't like to hear that. It was cutthroats, pioneers, crazy people. Take your scalp. Seriously, see, I wouldn't have to worry. They wouldn't bother me. But the deal is, you know what happened in Kentucky? Cane Ridge Revival. Did you know it became one of the most holy places on the whole planet? Did you know that God moved in Kentucky and two or three denominations raised up out of that? Praise God. Sorry they fell away from their first love, but you know what? God moved mightily in Kentucky. There was revivals. There was tent meetings. That's where the, see, y'all don't even know, you younger ones don't even know about camp meetings probably. There's one right down there. It still meets in New Albany faithfully every spring. Every spring they meet. But that was raised up from that move of God that happened in Kentucky. And Holly told me they're doing a field trip down there from Holy Chapel next Saturday. Go if you want to. And here's what you're going to hear. Well, this is where the Disciples of Christ was birthed. And la, 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 la. Nothing wrong with the Disciples of Christ. But they won't tell you what happened at Cane Ridge Revival. People spontaneously, there was preachers up in tree houses, like platforms out in the woods. There'd be one here, there'd be one over there. They didn't have no mic system, so they just had them everywhere preaching. There were Presbyterian pastors, Methodist pastors. They were all up in these trees preaching. They was preaching holiness. They was preaching repentance. And it said the power of God would come down and it'd be like a cannon. And there'd be people just slain in the spirit. There'd be 50 people fall down slain in the spirit. People would spontaneously break out in tongues. Yes! Disciples of Christ. That is their mantra of where they were born. They will not mention that. I'm not against them. I'm just saying that's how far we can go from our roots. We call ourselves Pentecostals. Well, probably not. That conjures up pictures of... Let me make sure I'm okay to say this. Never mind. It conjures up pictures of legalism and stuff like that, you know? So you could say charismatic, spirit-filled, whatever you want to say. But yet, you know, sometimes we follow the paths of the world instead of following the path of God and doing, walking in faith. You know what I'm saying? And we're all guilty of that. But anyway, I guess I've strayed away from, where was I at? Moravians. Suddenly all this stuff happened. Like I said, they were in a prayer meeting for 120 years. They sent out the first missionaries. Guess how often they got a furlough? Y'all like to know how often they got to come home? You know what they did? They put a coffin on the ship with all their belongings in the coffin. And when they went off to the mission field, they were going to be buried in that coffin. They had no intentions of ever coming back. There was places in the Caribbean. Y'all, this is too radical for us. There were places in the Caribbean where they wanted to reach the slaves that were doing the sugar cane and all that, all this really hard, horrendous labor. They would sell themselves into slavery so they could minister to these people that were slaves. They became slaves so they could preach the gospel. Kind of like Paul going to prison to preach the gospel. So there's all kinds of instances. You know, God doesn't call everybody to do radical. Well, yes, He does. He calls everybody to do more than you can do. If everything you're doing for God's comfortable, guess what? You're not hearing Him. I'm sorry. He doesn't ask you to do comfortable things. He doesn't ask you to, you know, your family's not always going to be pleased with the things God asks you to do. I'm talking saved family. Donna has been such a saint with me because sometimes he's asked me to do some really strange things that makes me look real. Like when Donna ran across, I'll have to get it on the overhead. Donna ran across those signs that he had me put up in Greenville back, I don't even know how many years, about this time of year. Oh, Lord, they were worse than I thought. Greenville is a wicked place. Not just Greenville, but never mind. I'll just show you. But Donna wasn't ashamed of me. He said, shave your head, set in this tent, put a tent between these three signs calling out all the sins of Greenville. Put black lights. Some of y'all don't even know what black lights are, but get 3 8-foot black light tubes and put in front of these signs, and they were paint the sign in black with day glow colors, black letters this big. I'm telling you, soon as you was at the mini mart, this is where the liquor store, the house right by Jack's, between Jack's and the liquor store, if you know where that's at. That's before the liquor store was there, by the way. This church tried to buy that building where the liquor store is. They wouldn't sell it to us. I'm kind of glad because it wasn't all that great a building. But the thing is that thing went up. There was people that would come there at night and want to know, is this really true? Is this in the Bible? And in the daytime, church people would come and go, you're defaming Greenville! There's no sin in Greenville. There was even one that said, we're going to sue you. I'm like, well. And then other churches, I remember the Baptist church up here. A couple people came down. Can we pray for you? Can we gird you up? So see, everybody saw the same thing, but different things were coming forth. Azusa Street. Man, you know, they've been plowing in for years and years. Little prayer meetings, little teachings. Started in Kansas years before this move of God, but it was really, you got to go to Azusa Street, didn't you, Brittany? Was that cool? Was it pretty neat? Just an old barn, is it still like it was? Oh, the building's not even there anymore. I didn't figure it was. But anyway, Azusa Street's like a memorial to the Spirit-filled Pentecostal movement in America anyway, which came from Welsh Revival, I believe, spilled over from there. But anyway, Azusa Street didn't happen like overnight. There was all kind. It was suddenly, but still, there had been a lot of plowing that went in. The Hebrides Revival, two old widows, two old maids, they prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed in their little peat hut for years and years and years and years for God to send revival. This Hebrides is a little nothing place somewhere, islands off of Scotland. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they wanted Duncan Campbell to come preach. And he's a big shot preacher and he's doing these conventions over in Scotland and England and Ireland and he's just wanted everywhere. And this old lady, she writes him a letter and said, please come to our da-da-da-da-da on this date. And he's going, no, no way. I've got this convention going on. There's no way I can break this. And she writes him another letter and says, you will be there. That was it. The convention he was going to preach was canceled, and the Holy Spirit said, go to the Hebrides. And if you know, if you don't know anything about the Hebrides Revival, you really ought to read. How many of y'all got those Revival Fire, that two-pack of CDs that I had? None of you? Hold your hands up if you got one. I gave out two CDs, was it last week? Did you get one? How many would like one? Hold your hands up high. Would you burn some for them? She'll get them for you today. Hold your hands up high so she can count. Just one per family, please. Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Multiply 7 times $29.95. Special on it today. No, it's absolutely free. But please get them from Holly. She probably still got some from last week. Do what? You gave them to me? I must have left them laying up there. I didn't take them home, I don't think. If I did, I'll give them out. Just burn them. Yeah. Okay, so that brings us to the point. We could go on with example, 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 but God gave us a prophecy. I don't know how many years ago it is because I'd have to look on the prophecy, but it was 2000. I'm not even sure. But it was the Four Winds prophecy. Wind of repentance, wind of revival, wind of reformation, wind of restoration. We've seen pieces. We've seen pieces of this. We've seen pieces of this. But these two, it's like, God, you know. And I think some people quit praying and they give up because they haven't seen it happen. But God will honor. If God said he's going to do something, he will do something. And it may not be in our time. The Highway 150 corridor, churches praying together. I've got friends. I got pastor friends that I never would have had. Nobody to help me out if it hadn't been for that. But he's promised us a region-wide revival, and that is going to be a huge piece of it. And I noticed that it's funny how things in the Spirit, but Pastor Donna's church, Hardensburg Assembly of God, they started having these Friday night meetings once a month. You know what they called them? Repentance, revival, reformation, restoration meetings. I'm like, where did that come from? She don't know anything about that, but God is pouring all that out in the Spirit. Can I have a couple more minutes? And I'll shut up. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. Y'all know it by heart, I'm sure. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a... what? Shout! With the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. When Jesus does return, And I don't care what your time frame is. I know what my time frame is. So I'm confident that he's gonna come at just the perfect time. How's that? And he said, the very last verse in the Bible says, even though come quickly, Lord Jesus. So they were crying out for Jesus to return. Maranatha, they were crying that out for 2,000 years. The church has been crying out for Jesus' return, because ultimately that's going to be the only thing that's going to redeem this planet. But he said, occupy till I come. Don't be, you know, and there may have been people when all those, in fact, I saw there's another Left Behind movie coming out, and this one's got Nicolas Cage. I'm like, what is this? Maybe he got saved, maybe not. It's probably just a movie, but a lot of people were, when these Left Behind series got, you know, they got caught up in this fantasy world, and ever since I found out, in fact, Jesus returning is what brought me to the Lord. Bible prophecy is what drew me to Jesus. But I have never, ever once thought that I don't need to do nothing, I don't need to save souls, I'm just going to sit on a roof and wait for Jesus to come back because I'm so scared and I'm not. No. No, but he promised he's always rescued his people. So that's a good thing. If your heart's bothering you, just remember, Jesus will return. He'll return for a spotless bride. Be about your Father's business, right? Let me leave you with this scripture. Joel 3, start at verse 9. Yeah. I like you better with sunglasses on. You know what? Prepare for war. Say it. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. You know, we've always been taught they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Because that's what's going to happen in a millennium in God's kingdom. But before that happens, it says, prepare for war. I don't know if y'all seen it. There's a video floating around, and there's these Marines. And I don't know if they're in church or what, but there must be 100, 150 of them, and they're locked arms, and they're going, ooh, ooh. And they're singing that song, Days of Elijah. Have you seen it? Yeah. And they're like, whoa. And at one point, they're singing this song. They go, rah! It's like they were pumped. And they're worshiping God. And here these guys have been trained to kill. But they're lifting up Jesus and they're praising Jesus, you know. And you could tell it's for real. They weren't putting on some kind of show for somebody. So prepare for war. Wake up, mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say what? I am strong. I think we need to say it because we're all weak as can be. Let's say it. I am strong. Come on. I am strong. Come on. I am strong. Say, without Him, without Jesus, I can do nothing. But with Him, I can do all things. All things. All things. And all things are all them things that keep you from doing what God tells you to do, because I can't do it, God. You're calling Him a liar. You know, when God calls you to do something and you don't do it, I'm not saying man calls you to do something or put some kind of guilt trip on you. I'm telling you, when God tells you to do something and you deny it or you put it off, you're calling Him a liar. No, God, you know I can't do that. Now, I'll do this, God, but I can't do that. Look at the people in the Bible that would have been X'd out. When Samuel came looking for the new king, he went to the house of Jesse, didn't he? You brought out all the fine, handsome, big, strapping men, soldiers. Oh, it's got to be one of them, says Jesse. No, it ain't him. I don't feel the anointing on him. No, I don't feel the anointing on him. No, 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 no. Isn't there any other ones here? I'm sure Jesse's going, what are you talking about? These are big old strapping men, good looking, you know. What do you mean? The best looking guys in the whole kingdom? Man, they chose their last king like that. It said Saul was a man heads above all the other men, handsome and good looking and wise. So God gave them what they wanted. This time God was going to have what he wanted, so he sent a prophet. No others? There's got to be another. Well, you know, there's that little scrubby David out there working with the sheep, but I know it couldn't be. Bring him in. He's the one. And I'm not saying David was ugly at all. I'm just saying he was a boy. There was nothing impressive about him. Does that remind me of somebody? There was no form or comeliness. And when we saw him, we weren't impressed at all. Who are they talking about in the Bible? Jesus. Evidently, Jesus was not impressive to look at. I don't think he had blue eyes and blonde hair, do you? And a nice little petite nose? Probably not. He was Jewish. No, I'm not being... He was a dark-skinned guy that walked around everywhere he went. Wasn't that impressive about Jesus? Heard a guy preaching one time said he was ugly. Now, I don't go that far, but what if he was? Anyway. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will set to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, the winepress is full, for the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. There are multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. So every day, we read this and we go, oh yeah, they was in the valley of decision. They was the most wicked lot. Every day you're in the valley of decision. Every day you decide, am I going to do it for, am I going to walk with Jesus today or am I going to walk for my flesh? Am I going to obey God today? Am I going to obey what the world tells me to obey? Am I going to listen to what the news says? Or am I going to listen to God's report? You know, and we're all in those places every day. But if you will keep planting good seeds, you will suddenly... You know why some people never reap a harvest? Because they'll plant two seeds. And then they'll go out the next morning and go, I don't see nothing. I don't see no sign at all. This ain't right. Them seeds must be bad seeds. And of course, the Bible says the seed, the Word of God is always good seed with 100% germination rate. And so they sow two seeds and then they might go along and get inspired by a sermon or something. They read a book and they'll plant two more seeds. And they'll go back and look at them other two and go, I don't see nothing there. You sow seeds every day. You're a sower. You sow the seed of word. You sow the word of God everywhere you go. And then when they do finally start coming up, Janet, you got a harvest, a continuous harvest. So praise the Lord. I'm waiting for that harvest, Jesus. I see some signs of life. I see some little saplings. No, I haven't seen all the fig trees bring forth fruit. But God has promised me that. God has promised me revival. God has had people, God has shown people on the hillside out here, thousands of people, you know. And I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about this region, a region-wide revival. It's going to happen. If we don't faint. And previous to moving into this church, there were no doors. Some of the walls weren't even up, but there was concrete floor. Told me to pitch a tent right there where Holly is, dead in the center of the church. Pitch a tent. Bring four kerosene lamps. Put one in each corner by the support post of the building. Keep them fast and pray and keep them burning for 7 days, and do not let them go out. And I was faithful to do that. So I know he's not a liar. He's not a teaser. He don't tell you to do things for exercise. He does it, but even though sometimes I'm like, God, what is going on, you know? But you got to be patient. You got to be patient. So, I make an altar call. If you have, first off, if you've never given your life to Jesus, you need to repent because the days are evil. The flood is at hand. You're going to get swept away. If you don't know Jesus, you need to bow down and ask Him. If you believe that He's the Son of God and you believe that He died on the cross for your sins and rose again, if you can do that, you've got enough to come up here and ask Him to forgive you. You need to do that today. But if you've, you know, if you've lost track of hope and you've fallen into the Lord, if it hadn't happened, it's not going to happen. Just come up and repent. Tell Him whatever. And repentance is the word for the day. Repent. If you've got sin in your life, if you're doing things that Jesus would never do, you need to come up and repent of it and allow God to set you free of it. But I've asked that before. You know, that don't mean you keep asking until you get the victory, does it? Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your goodness. Let's stand up. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You encourage us. Encourage us, Lord, that the suddenlies are here. We're going to suddenly see things for God. We're suddenly going to see this great awakening. We're suddenly going to see this move of God in revival in Jesus' name. Suddenly. Suddenly, and the signs, Matthew 24, the signs are in order, the times are in order, and we got a blood moon coming up Wednesday on the Feast of Tabernacles. Man, I hope it's a clear time where we can see it, but it's still there regardless. So thank You, Lord. We thank You. We live in an exciting time. Thank Him. Sometimes it's like, boy, it'd been nice to live in the 50s and stuff. It was screwed up then too. Because all you remember is the good stuff. You don't remember the junk. Lord Jesus, God, put Your hands up to heaven. Jesus, pour out on me. God, I need a fresh anointing, God, from heaven. Pour out. Open up the windows of heaven. Open up the windows of heaven and pour out on me, Jesus. Pour out on me, Jesus. Pour out on my family, Jesus. Pour out on my school, Jesus. Pour out on the churches. Pour out on this region, Jesus. God, we got to have a move, Jesus. We're calling out for that third great awakening, or You can put whatever tag You want on it. We just want a revival. More than revival, repentance. Changing, God, a changing. If you want to come up here and ask God to just come up to this altar, it's a good place to come and let Him have what doesn't belong to Him. It's just come up here and surrender anything in your life that doesn't belong. Come on now in Jesus' name. Come on now in Jesus' name. Come on now in Jesus' name. Don't deny His power. Don't deny His power. Don't deny His power. Jesus. 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 And if you need prayer for anything, please, I'd be honored to agree with you.